Namaskar and welcome to another episode of DharmaCast. This is Dr. Veda Pragyananda speaking, and today we're going to look at subject Maya and the means to overcome it. So Maya is a very important word in the spiritual lexicon, and sometimes it's misunderstood. So let's look at the meaning of Maya. Maya, if you just look it up in Wikipedia or in dictionary, is often translated as illusion. Or it's also another translation of it is that magical force of the divine. So what do we mean by illusion? According to the yoga philosophy, that this whole world is created from cosmic consciousness. So that consciousness, that blissful consciousness, is everywhere. And that's the essence of our being as an individual. But as individuals, we often do not feel that we are part of one blissful consciousness. And the reason for that is Maya. So we feel that we're ensnared by the forces of nature. We feel chained in our physical body, and our mind is limited, and we feel under the punishment sometimes of nature. So we don't feel like the free, liberated human being, which the philosophy talks about. So this is due to Maya. Now, some people also say that this whole universe, or whatever you see, is an illusion, just like the dream you had last night in your deep sleep, or in your sleep, you dreamt so many different things, but now it's gone in a flash, and there's nothing to it. And there are some people, there are some branches of the Indian philosophy which says that this whole world is just Maya or an illusion. So what really is it? The best way, or at least the way which I've been studying for the last 45 years, is to understand Maya as the force, the creative force of the Supreme Consciousness. It's the force which molds everything, which changes the undifferentiated consciousness into discernible units. Like you can pick up a piece of sand, and you can even count the sands if you have time. But if there was no Maya, there's nothing to create that solids out of the pure consciousness. You wouldn't be able to say where one piece ends and where another begins. Everything would be the same. So Maya is really called Prakriti. It's the force of nature. So this force of nature is binding pure consciousness and making it appear to be solid, making it appear to be liquid or gas, or all making it colored, making its fragrance, different fragrances. So Maya is creating the multiplicity of the universe. So it is the magical force of the Supreme Consciousness, you can say. It is the force of the Supreme Consciousness. So Maya, in that sense, is the force which creates that illusion that we're separate from the divine. And we look at sometimes Maya as very bad. You know, it's chaining us, and we have to fight against it. And we'll talk about that fight a little bit later. And so one thing to remember is that there are two kinds of Maya. One is called Avidya Maya, and this is what causes the darkness in the human life. It causes our inability to see the divine. This is Avidya Maya. This is the force which is bringing us away from consciousness. But there's also another aspect of Maya. It's called Vidya Maya, and this is what is propelling us towards the Supreme Consciousness. So how does Vidya and Avidya work? It's like a battle that's going on all over, good versus evil, you can say. But even in our own mind, that battle is going on. So I give an example. Suppose you may want to meditate, and then some part of your mind is saying, no, let's go out, we'll get drunk, and we'll do this, we'll do that, you know, we'll really have a good time. So that's the Avidya Maya. It's bringing you, it's taking you away from your nobler thoughts. Now, sometimes that the Vidyamaya comes on very strong. And that's why you live in a very material life and then you decide, oh no, I have to find something else. So there's a little help of that Maya is coming on. The Vidyamaya is coming on and then you're propelled towards discovering yourself or opening up yourself to some higher or some better reality. So vidya and avidya is going on. It's a battle going on in the world. We see it all the time. Some noble tendencies and then some tendencies which are degrading. And sometimes we're in the middle and we have to decide. So it's very difficult. You know, the Maya is very strong. And sometimes it feels like we can never get out of the clutches of the physical pull, the pull towards the physicality. So what is the way to do it? I'm going to talk about four ways, actually, how to do it. In ancient times in India, there was defined three styles, three paths, you can say. So one path, which is sometimes called the right-hand path, people understood that there's this force of nature is very powerful, and you know, it can wipe you out. Like just like right now, a tornado can, I'm in the Midwest, a tornado can wipe me out in a second if it comes. My house will be shattered. So people understood that nature is very powerful. And so then what was their solution to that? They supplicated themselves to it. They prayed, oh divine forces, please spare me, please spare my family. So they surrendered in that way. They just by prayer and flattery, they tried to get the favor of nature. So that was one approach. And then another approach, which is called the left-hand path, although there's another meaning of left-hand path, but in this situation, it's called the left-hand path. It's the person who understood, yeah, this Maya is really causing so much problem, so much difficulty to me. I'm going to fight it in any way I can. But then they fight blindly without any kind of a system, just like, you know, if you just go punching here, punching there, and you don't know what you're doing, but you're just fighting. But that's not, eventually you will get exhausted. And just like on the right-hand side, if you just bow down to the nature, you're also not going to go anywhere. So then there was what's called Madhya Marga, the middle path, and that is to have a systematic means of battling or of unpeeling or releasing oneself from the effects of Maya. And you can say yoga, Ashtanga yoga is kind of like that. There's an eight-step program for dealing with the restraints which nature puts on us and to liberate our mind and then to liberate our soul. So that's called the middle path. It's a very good way to go. But there's still one more way. And now I'm going to read from some writings from the Bhagavad Gita and also my guru's commentary on it. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said, Deviesha gunamai mama maya duratyaya mameva je praptyante maya metang tarantite. And the translation of that, this maya of mine is of the nature of three principles and is almost insurmountable. Only those who take refuge in me can overcome this maya. And my guru says, Lord Krishna is saying that his maya, the force that creates confusion and distinctions, is very powerful. It is insurmountable by the living beings. But those who surrender unto me transcend these forces of maya, of mine, with my help. If maya is more powerful than jivas, will the children of God remain forever slaves of this force? Is there no hope? No such situation is becoming, neither of God nor of his children. The secret lies in the word mine. This binding force is mine. I have used it for the play of my creation. Being mine, It is within my control to withdraw it from all or any, says the Lord. Hence, those who surrender to me can easily surmount this force. But what is the correct way to surrender? Prayer? Asking God for this and for that? There, the responsibility for what you ask is yours. You might ask for something very inferior, although you approach the All-Powerful for it. The best prayer, therefore, is, O Lord, do whatever you think fit and best for me. I do not know in which way lies my good. God can remove Maya from all at one stroke. He has the power to do so. But that will finish his whole lila, or play, this drama of creation. Therefore, he removes it from individuals and not from all collectively. For the good of human society, spiritual aspirants will tell others also about the method of this surrender and make them men and women of God. Individual progress depends upon the social environment also, and hence the need for spreading spirituality. So here, this is what Sri Sri Anandamurti has to say about Maya. And so taking the cue from Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he points out something very important, that this power of nature is actually a quality of the Supreme. It's the Shakti is owned by that Shiva, that the consciousness is the owner of Maya. So therefore, the way to fight or to get around it or to way to overcome it is to go directly to the owner. Go to the place where the buck stops. You go there, and then you will get your problem solved. So what Krishna said. He said, "Surrender to me." He's speaking me as God, you know, in that sense. He says, "You surrender to the Supreme, and then you will be in the place where Maya will be overcome." So surrender means, what does surrender mean? It means to get rid of our ego, that we are the controller of everything in our midst. You know, God, man plans, but man proposes, God disposes, is an old slogan, old saying, but it's true. Many of our little plans never reach fruition without that overall cosmic flow backing us. So what Krishna said, what my guru said, that the best way to overcome Maya is not to bow down to it or to worship it, not to ask God for this and that, and not to fight wildly. And if you want, you can, yes, definitely you should apply your different kind of yoga and all your techniques to unpeel the layers of the mind. But finally, really, this Maya is so powerful that the most efficacious way to overcome it is to surrender to the Supreme and lay down your ego and merge with the Supreme. And when you do this, then Maya, which is only part of the Supreme, which is just what we can say owned by that Supreme, you will come in the camp of the controller, of the Supreme controller of this Maya, and then nothing can assail you. So this is what, in a nutshell, what Maya is. It's that the force of nature which is creating the differences and which is blinding us to our true self. And there is a yogic way to overcome it, and ultimately, the most important part of that yogic method is what we call devotion or bhakti. And the essence of bhakti is to surrender the little ego, the giant self. So in a nutshell, this is my self. This is just one snippet. Thank you for listening.